This recording is from Willow Creek Church in Winter Springs, Florida, where Dr. Pete Allinson is our senior pastor. Today's sermon is part 9 in a series on the book of Exodus. This message is taken from Exodus chapter 18, verses 1 through 12, and is called No Greater God. Now here's Pete with today's message.
Well, let's bow our heads and our hearts as we have been led to worship. Let's talk to the one that we worship this morning. Our Father, how we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that we can come into your presence and worship, that we have something to worship, someone of supreme value and glory to worship. We come to you, Lord, after having been immersed in a week of work and a week of good things and a week of challenges and, Lord, a week whereby we've been forced to think about so many things and a lot about ourselves. Lord, sometimes we've gone through issues and challenges in our life and we've forgotten how great you are. And today, we don't want to forget that. We come to you today in worship and remember today that you are a God of deliverances, multiple deliverances. The God of Israel and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are our Savior. And you have delivered us from sin, from death, from hell. You've delivered us from ourselves, from our bad mistakes, our sins that have impacted others around us. Lord, you have been all that we have needed. And so we come to you today and we worship you and pray that you'd meet us now as we come to you. That, Lord, as we look into your word that you have sovereignly given, that we would find that some of that word that is talked and read, Lord, would be taken by your spirit and driven deep into our hearts, that we'd be encouraged and that we'd be strengthened, that we'd be developed as your daughters and sons, that you'd continue to give us grace beyond belief, and that we could be launched into another week remembering who we are. Be encouraged and strengthened. So, Lord, we commit this time to you. Lord, you know every need in this room, know every person. And Lord, we pray that you would give to each one what you have determined ahead of time today to give them. We pray that you would take your word, Lord, forgive the one who teaches and use one who is limited and finite to communicate your infinite truth. This morning we're here that you would teach us as we pray these things in the strong name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, take them. Turn to Exodus, because we're continuing that study in the book of Exodus. We've started several weeks ago, and we continue that study today. While you're turning, though, I must do something to follow up what Chris Attaway, our assistant pastor, said. You know, every time Chris gets up front, there has to be a follow-up. And I love working with him. He's been an elder in this church for so long, and it's so good to have him be on staff now. And some of you have probably thought, boy, the comments he makes about the SALT group and the seniors, boy, that's outrageous. That's not half what he tells them face to face, I want you to know. We talk about the fact that he has the ministry and the gift of ridicule and shame here at Willow Creek Church. No one can shame you more with a smile on his face than Chris Attaway, and they love him. I don't get it, but they do. But I appreciate his update, and it's so good that in this building program, everybody of every age is going to benefit from it, and the seniors will finally have their own place as well. Speaking of that, Brian Sin sent me the story about the two businessmen this week who crashed, and you probably heard this, they crashed on a deserted island in the South Pacific, and it was awful. It was a small little island, and one of the guys was just beside himself with frustration. He ran across the whole island. It wasn't very big. Ran back. There was nobody on it, no water, no communication, no nothing. And so he came back to the buddy who was leaning against the fuselage of their plane, and he said, listen, we're going to die. There's no water. There's no phone lines. Nobody's ever going to find us out here. We're going to die. And the man said, you don't understand. I make $250,000 a week. He said, you didn't get me either. There's no water. There's no food. There's nothing. We're going to die a slow, painful, horrible way. He said, I make $250,000 a week. He said, you're not getting it. What does your salary have to do with us dying? We're going to die horribly. He said, listen, I make $250,000 a week. I'm a Christian. I tithe. We're in the middle of a building program. My pastor will find me. We get desperate at times. I'm not going to come into your house. I'm not going to find you if you're lost like that. But my leaders tell me it's only $40 per person per week, more a week, and we're going to make it. Well, I don't know. God's in charge. And thank you for all that you've done and all that we have to do. Now, we continue our study in the book of Exodus. And what we've seen so far, up to chapter 18, that's where we're at today. Up to chapter 18, we have seen some incredible things. We have seen that the Exodus, in fact, has taken place. What is that? It's the nation of Israel, there were 600,000 men, so extrapolate out beyond that. How many women and children? Up to 2.5 million people, perhaps, in a miraculous way, have been freed from bondage in Egypt, and they've been taken through the Red Sea, so they've been let go by Pharaoh. Amen Hotep the second. They have gone through the Red Sea, and then, as we saw it last week, they've gone through four major trials. You remember what they were? The first trial was bitter water. The second trial was no food. The third trial was no water. And the fourth trial was the Amalekites, distant relatives from Esau, came after them. And so they've been through all that, and God's taken care of them. And God sent them through the trials to test them and to say, listen, if I got you through this, I can get you through anything. If I got you through this, I can get you through anything. And by the way, that's a message that applies to all of us today. This text that we're going to look at is so practical to us. The major theme is there is no greater God than God. And the Israelites had to get that. And that's the main thrust of our text today. So, Exodus 18, 1 through 12. Amazing, I'm not even going to look at 45 verses today. We're just going to look at 12 as we look at this text. Here it is. This is God's word to us. Now, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and the father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. One son was named Gershom, for Moses said, I've become an alien in a foreign land. And the other was named Eliezer, for he said, my father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the desert where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardship they had met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Here's the key verse. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who treated Israel arrogantly. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. That is God's word. And I only have 2 points for you today. Just two. 12 verses, 2 points. This is going to be painless. But the points are Moses' story and Jethro's realization. Now, I know that because I had somebody come up after the first service and they said, Pete, when you say Jethro, I cannot not think of the Beverly Hillbillies. All right. Okay, I've said it. It's out. And if that's all you can think about, you're totally depraved and you need to come to the front and repent. But I got to admit, I was raised on that show, and I think about it too. Jethro may not have been his personal name. It may have been his title. I don't know if that helps. It probably doesn't. Nevertheless, first let's talk about Moses, and then let's talk about Jethro. Look at his story, but check out verse 1. Now, Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and of his people Israel and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Good news, bad news travels quickly, doesn't it? I mean, it did back then, and it does today. When we all heard about the bridge collapse in Minneapolis, you heard about it right away. Bad news travels quickly. Now what's on the news is the mine in Huntington, Utah. We hear about that. It travels quick. Good news travels quickly, too. Some of you have been just waiting with bated breath to see if Barry Bonds would. And he did this week. He would pass Hank Aaron's long-standing home run record. He did. Now, some of you could care less about that. Some of you are a little angry about that because of the steroid thing, and you're a little bitter, and you need to repent of that. But good news, bad news, at all. I think the best part of that whole story is the guy from Brooklyn that got the $1 million ball. He travels from Brooklyn to San Francisco, and he gets the $1 million. There's some poetic justice in that. But good news and bad news travels quickly. It did back then, too. And so when the news got to Jethro, of all this stuff that had happened, he came to meet Moses. They met near Horeb, the mountain of God, Mount Sinai, that we're going to see in just a little bit. And he went out there to meet Moses, who now for almost 2.5 months has been traveling with the Israelites out of Egypt. And he comes and he brings Moses, wife and the two kids. Apparently what had happened, if you read the text, it said that when Moses got ready to do the Exodus, when he went to Egypt, he took his whole family, but then things started heating up and the plague started happening, and Moses, like a good husband, said, you know, this is not a safe environment. And he said, my wife doesn't know any of these Hebrews. She doesn't have any friends. The kids don't have any people that love them. We're going to send them back to Jethro. So they did. Now they're all reunited. And so it's kind of a nice scene here. But Moses, who wrote this text, highlights for us in a very important way the names of his sons. He goes to pain to highlight to us the names of his sons. Catch the names. The oldest is Gershom. And that sounds like the Hebrew, by the way, always named their kids with something meaningful. But sometimes the names of their kids came from an actual name, and sometimes it only came from something that sounded like an actual name. Gershom is a word that sounds like the Hebrew for an alien there, or the word is sojourner. Sojourner. So he named his first son Sojourner. You have heard of other weirder names, haven't you? Yeah. And his second son he named Eliezer, which means, let's say it together, my God is my help. Let's say it again, my God is my help. This shows you a window into the soul of Moses. If you think of him as Charlton Heston, like you think of his father-in-law as one of the Beverly Hillbillies, you have got to shift now to think about Moses as one of the most contemplative, deep thinkers you have ever come across. Here is a man who names his son after what I believe are the two marks on his life. The fact that he, for most of his adult life, has been a sojourner, and that God has been his help. Where did he live the first 40 years of his life? Remember? Egypt. How was he raised? He was raised in Pharaoh's household. This guy struggled probably with who am I? Identity issues. Who am I, really? And where's my home? I have a Jewish mother and father, but I was raised by the Egyptians. His speech, his mentality, his life was wrapped up in being an Egyptian. And then later, when he was 40, he began to see, my roots are that I'm really Jewish. And he tried to enter into that. But when he decided that he was going to be Jewish, not Egyptian, he paid a great price. He left a wonderful place to live next to the Nile. I mean, frankly, could you think back there of a better place to live? Plenty of water, fertile land. You're in the king's household. It's a wonderful place to be. Education, loved. And then he left it all. And where did he spend the last 40 years of his life? Do you remember that part of the story? Midian, the deserts, doing what kind of work? Shepherds. And the Egyptians hated shepherds because they smelled. Somebody asked me, how do you know that? Read back to Genesis, the last part, 42 on, and you'll find that even though Joseph came down and brought his family down, they were shepherds, and Pharaoh said, I can't talk to you. All of his adult life, Moses never felt at home. He felt like an alien. He felt like, I don't really fit in. I don't know who I am, really. I don't know where I have a home. I'm an alien here. I'm an alien out in this desert. Home is Egypt. Some of you have traveled so much for your profession, you don't know where home is. You don't have any roots. You're like Moses. You're an alien. A sojourner is somebody who lives temporarily in a place that is not home. And you have that sense deep down that you're not really at home. That shows you how Moses thought. But the second one is powerful, because what did he name his other son? My God is my helper. I've struggled with this stuff all my life, but God has been my helper from the very beginning. From the time before I even started following the true God, he was my helper. He took care of me when I was a little baby in that basket. He knew his story. And God knows your story. Moses' story was, I'm an alien, I don't fit in, I don't know where home is anymore, but God's been my helper. And every one of us has a story in here. And some of you have a great story, and some of you have a more painful story, and some of you are right in the middle of a difficult part of your story. You don't feel at home. You don't feel good at what you're going through, but God has been your helper, and he is today. And God has sent a better Moses. He sent Jesus Christ for you. Is everything good in your life? No, that's not the point. You're a resident alien. And in this world, things are never going to be perfect. I love Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the treasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses was not the first in a long history of sojourners. Abraham was he left too. And that's all of us. We're resident. Do you remember that old hymn? Maybe it was the Negro spiritual. This world, I'm not going to sing it. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Yeah, that's right. That's biblical. It was biblical for Moses. It was biblical for Abraham before him. It's true for us. And so Jesus said to the disciples just before he went to the cross. Remember what he said? Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. That's home. That's home. That where I am, you may be also. That's home. John Maxwell said this. He said, I'm willing to put myself through anything. Temporary pain or discomfort means nothing to me as long as I can see the experience will take me to a new level. I'm interested in the unknown. And the only path to the unknown is through breaking barriers. Adaptable people always place a high priority on breaking new ground. One of the big lessons from this is to put ourselves 100% into this life, even though we often feel dislocated. We don't know where home is. We keep trying to make home here. Some of you are going to Home Depot to make your home better today. You know, I know, we keep trying to make it home. The only home you can have, ultimately, with him because of Christ. You're a sojourner, but God is your helper. You're sick. You're a sojourner, but God is your helper. Your marriage didn't work out. You're a sojourner, but God is your helper. And He loves you very much. He loves you very much. Well, what Moses does is he comes back to, he tells a story to Jethro. And when he tells how God had taken care of him and the Israelites and all that, because there's no better God than God. He now comes to Jethro and he tells that story. And Jethro does what all good parents do when their kids come home and start saying, "Dad, you wouldn't believe what happened. You wouldn't believe how I scored this. I got that." Or when they come back a little, my son called me from UF. And he said, "You won't believe the score I got on that test this week." He got it. He passed the summer course. It was a very good grade, I might add. Goes back to his father, I'm sure. Or his mother. I was so proud of him. You are too. You're proud of your kids when they accomplish great things. Good parents do that. When their kids come in, and dads, we're not competing with our kids, right? We want them to get out there and get off the family budget. You know, we want them to get off the family payroll and be successful out in the world beyond us. And so when they come back and rejoice, we're cheering with them. And that's what Jethro does. By the way, how old is Jethro? How old's Moses? 80-ish. How old's Jethro? His father? Maybe 100? I don't know, 20 years between them? I don't know. Two very old guys. And Jethro hears what's going on, and he's so pumped for his son-in-law. But something more is going on, bigger than this. Because what we see happening in verse 10 is that he praises God. This priest of Midian, Jethro, praises God. In verse 11, this is the key. He says, "Now I know the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." This is a window. If we saw a window into Moses' soul, now we see a window into Jethro's soul, who said that you can't teach old dogs new tricks. Because here, at about 100 or 95 or something like that, he says, "Now I know. Now I know in my personal experience, in my head and in my heart, now I know that there is no greater God than the God of Israel. Now I know." Who said you can't come to faith in Christ later in life? You can. Who says you can't come to true belief later in life? You can. This is... and. Jethro was a religious professional. I'm a religious professional. Don't try this at home. Steve is a religious professional. You're hiding over here this morning, but he's going to be preaching in a couple of weeks, and I can't wait. We're religious professionals. Let me tell you something about religious professionals. We know what other people believe. No, we're not holier than you thought. I was going to say we're better. We're not. I'm not saying that. But we know what other people believe. Listen, I've read the books on comparative religions. We answer the questions. We once had a Lutheran write us and tell us once we answered the question properly that our view was wrong. Then we looked it up. We found out our view was right. We know what other people believe. And Jethro did too. And there were gods everywhere over there, guys. In every city, every state had their own gods. Every city had their own unique god. Baal, you study the Old Testament, Baal of this city. There were gods everywhere. And Jethro knew them all. And he said, "Now I know who the real God is. Now I know who the true God is. Because I have seen it in a power encounter that I could not refuse. I've never seen this in all my history. All my long life," Jethro says, "I have never seen a God bring about the victory that he brought about for Israelites. So today I go on record and I say, this is the true God." And we know that he did that. By the way, someone said there's no accidents in life, only incidences that remind us who the boss really is. Yeah, that's the attitude that Jethro exhibited there. He saw that. In verse 12 it says, "Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God." What's going on here? Jethro converted, And they had a big celebration. And it wasn't just, it was well planned and planned in advance. He got all the, and I can imagine, because I know elders, the elders of Israel sat down with him and said, well, let's check your faith now. Let's see if you really are an Israelite. And they grilled him, you know, as elders are wont to do. And they found out his testimony was real. He was a true believer. So far that he came with a burnt offering. You know what a burnt offering is? It's a dedicatory offering. Some of you think of the nation of Israel as having the temple where they brought the burnt offerings. And some of you guys who are really into grilling think, boy, you know, they tried to put them up there and just get them nice and medium or rare, just a nice piece of steak. No, burnt offering completely, like I cook. Goes on the grill, it's going to be burnt. And the whole point of a burnt offering was that the offerer would say, I am now dedicating myself to you, God. Take all the offering. Take all myself. And then they had the other offerings, the text says, which are fellowship offerings. And in fellowship offerings, once you've dedicated yourself to God, then you sit down with the rest of God's people, and this is so cool, and you have a party. Then you do cook the meat so you can eat some of it. And you sit down and you have fellowship with God. God loves fellowship. He loves parties. He loves sitting down with his people. You know, the Westminster Confession of Faith in the Shorter Catechism says, the chief end of man is to glorify God. We're into that. We do that well. But also to enjoy him forever. God loves to enjoy you. And he wanted to enjoy his new son. Jethro was the first convert from the power encounter of the Exodus. And there'd be more. There would be more. What are the applications of this? Some of you are saying, man, this, all right, where do I go with this? There's some take home, and I have three. First one is to never underestimate the power of your God story. Never underestimate the power of your God's story. What did God use to convert Jethro, Moses' story, of God's deliverance, and what a change that brought to the people of Israel? And one of the most powerful things is what you have been through and the deliverance that God has brought in your life. How are you different? I know some of you have gone through incredible stuff, and you're different. You've told me your stories. Alcoholics, addicts, I know, I could ruin you right now. And you could ruin me. We have got glorious stories of failure and salvation and deliverance. And those are the stories that make an impact, and those are the stories we need to share. As we move into this phase of life as a church, we have got to remember why we're here. And I love this because we have the opportunity to show how our marriage didn't work, but you know, God's been there. I'm a sojourner, but God's been my helper. Let me show you what he's done. You don't know what I'm going through with my family as they're getting older and I'm dealing with all that, but God's been my helper. How did you come to Christ and what has he done since then? Tell people. Tell your story. God could use it in an amazing way. Don't be afraid. Tell them what the world is looking for is honest people who aren't afraid to share the dirt, knowing that the dirt doesn't define them, but their deliverance does. You're defined not by your past, but by Jesus. And then invite them to church because they need to come in here and see that we're not a bunch of two-headed monsters walking around. That's just real people who've been transformed. The second application is, I think, it's the power of conviction. And I could go on and on. I could really go into preaching about this. You want me to preach, man? I don't have much time, but I could preach for about 40 minutes on this, but here it is in a nutshell. We got to be more convicted, just like Jethro was, that there is no God but God. There is no God but the true God. And I love living in America, don't you? I love freedom of speech. People can say whatever they want to say. Within reason, don't, if you come here, don't yell out fire in this service, because that's unethical. You don't, freedom of speech only goes so far. But if you want to believe that the rocket now on the way to Mars is going to find little green men, you can say it. You can say it here. You can believe it. I'm cool with that. When people say absolutely stupid things about Christianity and about things on TV, you know what I say? I say, freedom of speech is a wonderful thing. I have the right to be stupid with what I say. Or I have the right to say my opinion. That's great. Having said that, Christians have got to understand that we've been raised in a pluralistic world that says everything is on the same equal level. And if we're going to make it, the church is going to continue. It's got to be with a bunch of people who understand that there is only one God. And there is only one Savior. And we are unabashed monotheists who believe that the God of the Bible is the only God and Jesus is the only Savior of the world. There have been polytheists who believe in many gods. There have been atheists who say there is no God. There's been agnostics who say, I just don't know. And then there are Christians who are absolutely committed, ethical monotheists who believe in Jesus Christ. What sends us to mission fields? What yanks money out of our wallet? What gives us hope? Is that there is one true God worth living for and dying for. And Jethro reminds us. It's the power encounter. Later, as we get to the Ten Commandments, we're going to see it's the ethics of the Old Testament. Nothing greater. There's no greater ethics than have ever come out of any religion than the Ten Commandments and the ethical teaching of Jesus. We're convinced because of the power of God, the redeeming work of God, and the truth of God. We're going to talk about the Ten Commandments in a few weeks. I've never taught on the Ten Commandments. We're going to teach on them here in the next few weeks. But a Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with her six-year-olds, and after explaining the commandment to honor your father and mother, she said, is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters? Immediately, the little boy said, thou shalt not kill. So we're going to talk about the law and how the law is just a wonderful thing. And by the way, the New York Times had a piece about a public defender who was asked by his client to safeguard his artificial leg so it wouldn't get damaged or stolen in prison. And he walked with the leg under his arm out of the prison, and the leg was still clad in a trouser leg, wearing a shoe, until he realized that everybody in the lockup was looking at him. And he had the presence to say to the other criminals there, he said, see what happens if you don't pay your lawyer? The law is good. Law is good. The power of your God story. Don't ever forget it. Secondly, don't ever forget the power of conviction. Lastly, the power of identity. The power of identity. And this just really goes back to remembering that you're a sojourner too, but God's been your helper. You're a sojourner, that's your identity, but God is your helper. And as you and I go out into this week, as we face a new week, we are wandering in deserts sometimes. How important it is for me to remember who I am, and for how important it is for you to remember your identity. Sometimes we have spiritual amnesia and we just forget. We forget because we want everything to be perfect now. But it's coming. It's coming. You don't have to prove to God that you're better than you are. He loves you like you are. Jesus paid for the other stuff. Give yourself fully to Him. Remembering that you're a sojourner, but God is your helper in everything you face. The story is told that Hernan Cortez, when he went to the new land and disembarked, and the ships were sitting off the shore, and his crew were about ready to mutiny. He could tell, because they were frustrated with what, they didn't know where they were going and what they were going to do, and they wanted to go back. They were going to leave him there and take off with the ships. You know what he did? He burned the ships. And he looked at him, he said, there's no going back. There's no going back. Burn the ships. There's no going back. Where are you going to go? To Egypt? Just embrace your identity. You're a sojourner, but God is your helper. You're a sojourner, but God is your helper because of Jesus. Relax and walk. Let's walk together. You take it to heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for, before we knew it, being our helper. Now today, Lord, you know every one of us, and you know the deserts that we walk in, the questions that we have. And I pray that you would be with your Israel sitting in front of me, Lord, in a way that they have not known previously. May they know that even as sojourners, you're with them, and that there is no greater God. We lean on you and your grace today for another week. We're grateful that we're yours, as we pray these things in the strong name of our risen Savior Jesus.
Willow Creek Church is associated with the Presbyterian Church in America. Our website is www.willowcreekchurch.org, and our phone number is 407-699-8211.